Al Petrelli, guitarist for Trans-Siberian Orchestra, it's great to hear your voice.
It's good to hear your voice. And again, I appreciate the time as always.
Well, we appreciate that you are the tradition for so many people when you come to Sacramento. I will tell you, I found one of the few people that hadn't seen you before, and we took a couple with us last year. And this big guy in his 50s, at one point when there was music and lights and fire and explosions, was out of his seat with a standing ovation, and the rest of the place was still sitting down. I remember going, "Bob, sit down." He goes, "Oh my God, this is amazing."
That's so classic.
Yep. So you do still have those people who have not seen the wonder that is Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And I know everybody asks this, and I do, but for people who are just hearing about you for the first time, how do you explain what's going to be going on at Golden One Center on November 29th?
Well, for anybody who hasn't seen us, the only thing I could say is that I'd like to think that we encompass all different genres of music and the best of all those different genres. So if you're a fan of any style of music, that could be classical music, like the great composers, you know, Mozart, Chopin, Tchaikovsky, Liszt, Beethoven. If you're a fan of good old-fashioned American rock and roll and everything in between, you know, there's something there for you. If you're a fan of, you know, Broadway or theatrical presentations of the art, you're going to love it too, because it's very theatrical in its presentation. The characters that have been written into Paul O'Neill's stories, the story itself, the narration. And if you're a fan of over-the-top production, I mean, this is like Super Bowl, NFL, pyro, lasers, stuff. Just, it goes beyond what any other rock and roll band has done in an arena. You know, you wrap that up all together, you know, it's as bombastic as anything you've ever seen, times 10, yet so intimate that you're sitting down, you know, with 13 or 14,000 of our closest friends, you could hear a pin drop in the middle of the arena as the narration's going on or as some of the songs are going by. It's going to be our best show ever because we're going back to where we started, Paul O'Neill's story, Christmas Eve, and other stories, which put us on the map almost 25 years ago.
That is so awesome. And since that time, there's 16 million fans who have seen you. Apparently, there are still a few that have yet to see the splendor. And I like to I like where I read that Trans-Siberian Orchestra's live show has been called a mix of The Who's Tommy and Andrew Lloyd Webber with Pink Floyd's Lights. Close?
Yeah, I'll take that. That's all really good company, you know.
There you go.
I mean, the fact that people are trying to describe us means everything to us, you know. You know, it's not just like, hey, we're going to go see this band. Everybody wants to know what it's like, and nobody can really nail it and explain it to them. It's almost like saying, hey, what's the Grand Canyon look like?
Right. Well, that,
aside from being a really big hole, it's a lot, you know.
Hence my friend standing up out of his seat. I tried his, and I had him listen to your interview from last year, and he was still this giant lug standing up just screaming and applauding and so enjoying it. The cool thing is that you travel all over the world, and music is an international language. You have a narrator that's such a great part of the show. Does the narrator change languages around the world, or does he still speak in English?
No, it's in English. I mean, everybody kind of speaks English. And a couple times in Europe, they did have teleprompters to translate for some of the audience members who you know, weren't as fluent in it. Because, again, some of the story, it's a little deep, you know, and some of the poetic content does not translate always sometimes. So, you know, we don't ever want anybody sitting there missing out on any syllable of Paul's words, you know, so we have done that in the past. But a lot of, it's almost like going to see an opera in Italian, though. You know, I don't speak a word, but there's no mistaking the intensity and the passion and the drama in just the expression in the performance. So a lot of it's, you know, it translates that way as well.
So do you remember back to the first show, 1999, and you've been doing this nonstop all over the world since then? Do you have any recollections of the first show?
And like it was yesterday.
Tell me.
It was the most surreal thing ever. It was, if I'm not mistaken, the Tower Theater in Philadelphia, okay, December 1999. And we had never done a show before. They just said, we're going to go out, we're going to try this. And I think it was seven cities, 9 or 10 shows on the itinerary. And I remember, you know, rehearsing with the band and kind of creating stuff as we were going, you know, like there was never narration in a rock and roll band. Hmm. We had a string section. We were like, the narration was going on in rehearsal. We were underscoring it. We were just having fun because there was no expectations. We didn't know what to expect, you know? I know we had sold a couple million records of Christmas Eve and Other Stories, and a million or so at the time of The Christmas Addict, but we didn't know who was buying these records. So we're in Philadelphia, and soundcheck went fine, and we're kind of a little nervous, but looking forward to it. And I walked out on stage, and the lights came up, and I almost had a heart attack. Because smack dab in front of me in the front row was an older couple, you know, and, like, dressed up, you know, like those crocheted sweaters people have for the holidays?
Yes.
Reindeer and stuff on it.
Holiday clothing, yes.
And they look so gorgeous and so erudite, and they just... And right next to them was a dude in a Slayer hoodie.
I love it. I love it. That right there exemplifies your audience of, you know, 15 to 20,000 of your best friends.
Yeah, nothing's changed over the last 21 years of touring, you know. But so help me God, I just put my head down and played. I said, I don't know if we're going to get stuff thrown at us. We've chased out, you know, like the Frankenstein monster by the villagers. I don't know what's going to happen. But at the end of it, the couple thousand people there gave us a standing ovation, and it seemed like it lasted forever. And that will stay with me for the rest of my life.
And what does it mean to you? Again, I know I ask these. It just, you are the beginning of the holidays for so many people. I have a friend who buys great seats every year, and for her, Trans-Siberian Orchestra kicks off the holidays. What does that make you feel like when it's times millions and millions?
Again, it's something that occurred that I never saw on the radar. It's the most amazing feeling ever when I hear that from people. And not only that, you know, like people in this little town that I live in up in the mountains of Pennsylvania, you know, they say the same thing and they love it, you know. I mean, as a guitar player, as a musician, you know, I just wanted to make good music and make some great records and do some tours and you know, and have a good run of it. My boss, Paul O'Neill, who created this whole thing, you know, I don't know if he saw that on the radar. I don't know if he knew that everybody was going to take it and just, like, embrace it as their own and have it become the soundtrack in their homes from pretty much Thanksgiving to New Year's.
I love it.
And when people say that, well, it's not the holidays until, you know, we come see you guys or, you know, come see the show or when you come to town, it's the official start. You know, nobody could think that up. I didn't, anyway. I am so proud to be part of it, and I'm so proud of the legacy that, you know, that is Paul O'Neill and his family.
And do you love that you've got still the young people, the middle-aged people, and the older people, all different generations appreciating this music? Every year there's a whole new audience of youngsters, if you will.
Yeah. Listen, my children included. Mm-hmm. You know, my oldest son, well, three older sons were around when this thing began. Now my two young daughters, Olivia, who's 8, and Layla, who's 3, you know, they love it. You know, wow. They don't even really get it yet that what I do. They just know that, okay, daddy's hair is out, he's wearing a funny looking suit, he's playing guitar and jumping around, you know. But they just, you know, they'll make pretend that they're the girls in the band and swing their hair back and forth.
Oh, hell yes.
Songs, you know, and you can't help, you know, but love this thing. And I'm just so proud of that. It's like watching a child grow up from infancy to young adulthood and becoming president by 25.
And know that they have epic taste in music, so there's that.
Yeah, and these children are hearing, you know, the great composers. Mm-hmm. So it's not just like one style. I mean, they're being exposed to so many different styles of music and opening up their ears to that. And then every so often, like some, I don't know, 8, 9, 10-year-old boy or girl will come down the autograph line and say, hey, I'm going to start guitar lessons because of tonight's show, or I'm going to start playing violin or whatever. It's like, you know what? These are the hidden treasures in this band.
Well, and then you're so modest that you won't say anything about this, and I don't understand why every rock group in the world doesn't do this, but Trans-Siberian Orchestra, wherever they go, $1 of every ticket of every show goes towards a charity. I believe here in Sacramento it's Easter Seals, and to date you've raised over $16 million for worthy charities throughout North America, and don't even feel it, except for you feel it in your heart, and it's just, it's so easy and so magical, and I so respect all of you for doing that.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for saying that. But anything's worth doing is worth doing, you know, anonymously. You know, it's not the attention of the act. It's the act itself.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, again, you know, credit where credit's due. This is Paul O'Neill and the O'Neill family. You know, his wife, his daughter, that's who these people are. You know, they just want to help and they want to change the world. And I've known Paul since 1984, 85. 10 years before we started working together. And every time he turned around, he's handing somebody a 10 or a 20, you know. And he'd say, it's not going to change my life giving this person $20, but it might change their night. They need it. And maybe that'll make them, you know, give them a better tomorrow. You know, a dollar at a time doesn't seem like a lot of money until you add up, $16 million over the last however many years. And hopefully things are better in certain areas. He just wants to make a change, and I think he's accomplishing it, and his family's carrying on the same legacy.
And is he up stage with you every night?
On my left shoulder, right over it. Every time I look, you know, everything that's on that stage, you know, I mean, his concept of pyro dancing to the songs, the lasers, the trusses moving, you know, to Pachelbel's Cannon, all those things. I just, I sit there and I smile. I miss him every second, but I couldn't be prouder that, you know, he's going to live in my heart forever, you know. And that, to me, is the true definition of heaven. I mean, he will always be alive.
You make a specific, at every show, there is an acknowledgement of the military, which is just so powerful and so important at the holidays, if not all year round. How are your military kids doing? I think last year you had a daughter in a submarine, maybe?
No, my youngest son is on a nuclear sub out of Pearl Harbor. And my oldest son is a chief in the Coast Guard, and he's stationed in Charleston, South Carolina. And they're both doing wonderful. Thank you for asking.
Well, and thank them for their service. We're so excited that you're coming out to Sacramento. There better never be a year that you skip through here. And it's the Golden One, which the acoustics are awesome.
What a beautiful building that was.
Right?
I think it was last year, our first year there?
Maybe last year or the year before, but the acoustics.
Oh, my God, what a beautiful, beautiful building. Congratulations, by the way.
I hope to see you. For folks who are listening, the show is Friday, November 29th. Two shows, 3 o'clock and 7:30, and it's Trans-Siberian Orchestra. It's the you're going back to the roots, Christmas Eve and other stories for 2019.
Back to where we started. It's going to be our biggest and best show ever. Again, you know, technology. Our department has to create things that we weren't able to do with that story 10 years ago.
It's
going to be, you know, emotional for everybody involved. I just can't wait.
I love it. Save a good hug for me.
Much love, darling, and I'll see you real soon, all right?
Thanks, Al.
Next time.
Bye-bye.